your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that first segment with Dana Lyons, where we really just looked big picture at the markets and even got his comments on precious metals. In this segment, we are switching our focus to the precious metals sector, as we are chatting with Dave Erfle, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. And Dave, usually we chat on Tuesday every week, but when we chatted this Tuesday, we didn't even bother recording anything because, quite frankly, the sector is back to being very boring. We said we would reconnect on Friday, and if there was something to talk about, then great, we'd record something. As it turns out, there was some pretty big news that broke about mid this week. The M&A continues, and this is a big M&A transaction where Kinross stepped up and made an offer to Great Bear Resources. The total offer, $1.8 billion Canadian. It's about 75% cash, also a share component. There is another additional kicker where if Kinross, I believe, gets into production and issues an over 8.5 million ounce resource, then the shareholders would get even more Kinross shares. That's a long way down the road when we consider that Great Bear still doesn't even have a resource out. It is in the works, but now with this acquisition, who knows when it'll actually be released. Dave, give us your thoughts on this transaction, one of the biggest ones and definitely the biggest coming from a junior getting bought.
Yeah, it's just another acquisition in the sector that we've seen take place recently after the Agnico Kirkland deal was announced. M&A has really started to heat up. And yeah, this is great for the sector and anybody who's a Great Bear shareholder, because this is a huge premium and the stock was already at an all-time high. So, you know, everybody that was a Great Bear shareholder made money, which you can't really say about some of these transactions that have taken place recently, because they're so depressed. The miners and central banks right now are seeing an opportunity. Central banks have ramped up their buying because the gold price is so cheap in relation to the inflation that continues to skyrocket. And the miners, who basically learned their lesson from the last bull market, they were buying juniors at the top of a market by diluting shareholders. And they were also not only were they doing that at the top of a market, but they were buying low margin projects just to get ounces on the books. Well, they're doing the opposite this time. They're buying high margin projects at a time when the sector is out of favor. So this is just more good news for people who are holding juniors that management is de-risking high margin projects.
Well, Dave, just in full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Great Bear, so I am pretty excited about this merger. But what I like about this one compared to the string of other ones we've seen, and I got to give you credit, you called it with the Kirkland Lake Agnico that it would kick off a string of them. And we saw Calibre Fiore, you know, get together. We saw Newcrest and Pretium. We saw Hochschild just do a takeover recently. We saw Golden Star Resources taken over by a Chinese firm. We have seen a string of M&A deals, but this is the first one that reminds me of Kaminak, where it was a junior explorer building a big resource. And when it got taken over, it was one that was widely followed. And if people remember back then when Goldcorp took over Kaminak, it got the money circulating in the space, speculating on who would be next. It started, you know, area play action, and it just got a little bit more enthusiasm in the sector. Are you looking at it in a similar way that we actually may get the animal spirits going again here?
Yeah, well, I've been waiting for that ever since the Kirkland Agnico deal was announced. You know, the tax loss selling is really hitting the stocks hard right now. And but if you take a look at some of the juniors that are de-risking higher margin projects that are close to either the finance stage or a feasibility stage, there's one that I mentioned last week, Bluestone Resources, that it appears like it may be in play also, because it's been bifurcating from the sector as it's gone towards strong resistance at $2, which is close to its all-time high. So, that's just one stock, but there are many others here that are being sold because they're down on the year, and this is the time of year where investors do not care about fundamentals. If they're down on a stock, they don't care about where the gold price is going because their portfolio is doing so well as the stock market is trading back up at all-time highs, near all-time highs again. So everything that they're showing a loss on is being sold with total disregard to any fundamentals whatsoever, which is, you know, a great opportunity. You know, I've been saying that for a while now. The opportunities get better and better as the stocks keep going lower and lower in a lot of these things. But if you have the patience to wait it out and you buy these things with cash and not on margin and just kind of file them away and wait for the gold price to finally catch up with this crazy inflation that's going on here, then you're going to be doing pretty well here in about 6 to 12 months.
Well, Dave, just following up on that comment about how depressed the share prices are, couldn't that be exactly why we're seeing a lot of the M&A in the sector over the last few months?
Absolutely.
Because we're not the only ones that want a deal. The companies that are taking over these companies want a deal.
That's right. The majors are taking advantage of it. Central banks are taking advantage of it by buying gold. I think Singapore announced they were buying gold for the first time since 2000, when the gold price was around $300 an ounce. The Irish Central Bank announced they're buying gold for the first time in 12 years because of inflation. If you take a look at the ETF holdings, gold was bought in November for the first time in a few months. So, you know, retail is buying on this weakness. Central banks are buying on this weakness. Miners are buying ounces in the ground on this weakness. So, you know, it only makes sense that we should be buying on this weakness as well. But you have to have a strong stomach when you're trying to bottom fish and also have a lot of patience for it to finally pay off down the road.
Dave, circling back to that acquisition of Great Bear, do you see any potential of a bidding war coming into the space?
The last bidding war we saw was for Cardinal Resources in Ghana last year, and that was during a bull phase of the market. So I don't see a bidding war here. I would love for it to happen because it would be not only great for Great Bear shareholders, but it would be great for the sector. It would bring more attention to it. But in this environment, I don't see it.
Well, Dave, some people had speculated that Barrick buying up land on both sides of Great Bear may be making a move on it, and others had mentioned Evolution Mining having the nearby Red Lake gold mine may want to take a stab at it, and that maybe some other Aussie producers would want to invade Canada like they were doing a few years ago and make some creative acquisitions. So we'll wait and see. But just on this M&A topic, we've also seen a lot of acquisitions that aren't necessarily takeovers or mergers, but you know, we saw i80 Gold in Nevada make some acquisitions from Barrick to bring some new projects in their fold. Just this week, we saw Dolly Varden and Fury seal a deal where Dolly Varden bought the Homestake project from Fury. And we're seeing a lot of those kind of deals, too, where companies are going out and buying a mine or buying a land position. So are you encouraged by just the level of activity that we're seeing in the space where companies are making a move on ounces?
Yes, absolutely. You know, this needs to happen. You know, it's been talked about for the past few years that this sector needs to consolidate. You know, there's just too many juniors out there, and there's just not enough buyers. So, you know, especially as far as the size of these majors are concerned, you know, that's why it was great to see the Agnico Kirkland deal that creates the third largest major. Because, you know, these majors, they're trying to attract generalist investors. So in order to do that, they need to get bigger and pay healthy dividends. And that's what they've been doing. And, you know, they've also made their balance sheets a lot healthier. They've paid off most of their debt. You know, they're making gobs of money here, even if the gold price does go down to $1,600, all in cost of production did rise this quarter, of course, because of all the inflation. I think it's up to $1,130 now an ounce is the average all in cost of production price. But still, you know, if at a gold price of 1780 here, you know, they're doing very well, but they do need to replace those ounces. They know it. And I think this M&A is going to continue, and it's only a matter of time until generalist investors finally wake up to the fact that, hey, these juniors that are de-risking these high margin projects, they're takeover targets, and look how cheap they are in relation to the gold price.
Yeah, let's just get a few more of these takeovers going. But that Great Bear news, I do think, very encouraging for the sector. Dave, you mentioned that you're seeing everybody buying on weakness. And you are saying, too, that these exploration plays, they are severely undervalued to the general gold price, to the overall market. We are also seeing higher inflation numbers. Just today, as we're recording this on Friday, we have 6.8% inflation. But gold still is stuck under 1800. And you look at GDX today, GDX is flat. Same with GDXJ. If there is so much buying, or if there is a lot of people looking at this sector saying stuff is cheap, why is the sector not sustaining any uptrend?
Yeah, three words, Corey: tax loss selling. I mean, if you take a look at the GDX, the GDXJ, they became overbought in mid-November when the gold price got above 1850, and then they became oversold when it morphed into yet another fake out. They became oversold in just 2 weeks, starting on December 1st is when tax loss selling really ramped up. And if you take a look at the bounce that we just had this week in both that started on last Friday in the GDX and GDXJ, it was a weak bounce up to the downtrend line from that resistance line at 35 in the GDX and 48, 49 in the GDXJ, and they continue to sell off. But there is some hope for the sector to turn around soon, because if you take a look at the GDXJ, for example, notice on the steep declines in the GDXJ ever since the August 2020 high, the relative strength index, the RSI, has made lower lows with the decline of the GDXJ up until August of this year. So since August of this year, not only in the GDXJ, but in a lot of other stocks I follow, the prices have made lows at that low or even lower lows, but the RSI is not following them to make lower lows as well. So this is a sign that this is a divergence, which may be signaling a bottom forming in not only the GDXJ, but a lot of other companies that I'm following, and some that I purchased that have been shellacked for like 50 to 70% after making those huge moves in such a short amount of time last year. So I really think we're close to turning it around, but it remains to be seen. I think this Fed meeting next Wednesday is going to be the biggest meeting of the year, because, you know, the Fed all of a sudden came out, Powell came out during that congressional testimony and flip-flopped and said, hey, inflation's not transitory anymore. The CPI coming out today at 6.8%, highest since 1982, he front ran that by saying, hey, okay, it's not transitory. It's here, and it's going to be here a while. We're going to have to do something about it, which is the reason why gold is stagnant, which is the reason why gold shares aren't reacting, because now everybody's expecting that the Fed to not only taper, but to move up the taper and start raising rates sooner rather than later. So, you know, all this is gonna come to a head next Wednesday. So we'll see what the market does in reaction to this. In the meantime, you see the gold price, it's crammed into that symmetrical triangle that has been created for the past nearly 17 months now, and it's about to make a strong move in either direction. If you take a look at the gold shares and silver showing relative weakness to the gold price, they're warning that direction is going to be lower. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen next Wednesday, because once that FOMC meeting and their decision about the dot plot and what they're going to do about tapering interest rates and all that is out of the way, toward the end of the week, that's when big money traders and fund managers take their vacations, you know, for the holiday vacations. So I think tax loss selling pressure will ease on the gold stocks at that time. And we should at least see a bounce into next year. But what is going to happen after that bounce remains to be seen.
Yeah, and where that bounce takes us, because unfortunately, even this most recent bounce really didn't take out any key resistance levels. And that's been one of the issues, too, is that the bounces we have been relatively short-lived and fairly weak when you look back over this year and a half correction. Dave, thank you, as always, for your time. Chat again next week. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back with Sean Broderick.
Thank you, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.